This one is a little bit different because my guest over here is or was the founder
one of
the founders of Seek. I'm sure you've heard of it. Marketplace, huge marketplace. Matt Rockman. Building up a little bit of an audience here for people that love business, disruption, entrepreneurship, everything that you've been able to do resonates with them. They just haven't met you probably until now. Do you want to just give us a bit of a history?
Yeah, thanks, Tobin. You know, really, first of all, congratulations for what you're doing with Cubes. I think it's a great initiative.
Thank you.
I met Toby in Los Angeles in a co-working space, so that was obviously part of his inspiration. Toby's also a great entrepreneur, so respect there, mate.
Thank you, man.
I started with Paul and Andrew Bassett, the two brothers, back in 97, you know, sort of three young guys with a plan. It was somewhat obvious, I won't say pretty obvious, it was somewhat obvious that sort of the internet was just a better way to interact with classified advertising. So, you know, three young guys with not a lot to lose, so to speak, in terms of, you know, pretty young, started out, raised some money and started to execute. So I learned a lot through that process, and I was with Seek. I was the first founder to leave, left after 10 years. I was responsible for sort of revenue and marketing in the early days. So it was an amazing journey, amazing schooling, and got a chance to work with some, you know, truly exceptional team.
Yep.
And since then, I've sort of been playing the angel investor. I was working with Square Peg over in Los Angeles when I met you. So I've done a lot of sort of venture investing and early stage investing. So I think I've got a bit of a feel for the space.
Yep.
Getting a bit older these days and probably a little bit more cynical.
Yep.
And there's probably some key takeaways that I've learned. You know, one of them is, and I get to see thousands of decks, or hundreds, maybe not thousands.
Yep.
And, you know, one is probably that I go back to every founder and they just undercook the competition, the level of competition. I get the why on that.
Yep.
Because it's not really in a founder's interest to go out there and comb the globe and turn over every rock to find masses of competition to put that in the deck to a would-be investor.
But it's very interesting. As an investor, so firstly, like, I want to circle back on the Seek challenges, but not now because we're on a different path.
That's vlog number two. Right?
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot of things that you and I have discussed over lunch in LA around the dot-com bust and servers going down. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to circle back to because I think that people would really get a tremendous amount of value from that. But I want to know from me as an entrepreneur to you as an investor, you know, people go, you know, did I, looking at this specifically, because this is really like the first product or business that I haven't been first in my category to launch, not necessarily the winner takes all, but when I came back to Australia, I actually said, I actually don't give a shit who's doing what out there. I'm hyper-focused on delivering my vision and my mission.
Yeah.
Do you think that is a point of weakness for me as a founder?
No, I think we're talking slightly differences and it's in the nuance, right? What I'm talking about is a founder / entrepreneur not disclosing and not knowing of the competition.
Right.
That's different from saying, I think I've got a better mousetrap or a better value proposition, therefore I'm going to go to a competitive landscape. And I think I'm going to get share. That's quite a difference. What I'm saying is so many decks I see from, you know, A-round guys, seed guys, just is not built out in a competitive heat map. They just don't know who else is out there. And often what happens is you write a check or I hear of people writing a check and then all of a sudden you see all these... you see all these Me Too businesses and you find it's a very competitive environment where perhaps that team didn't think it was. So that's a big miss.
But is that a NDD from a VC perspective? Is that a miss? Or is that a step or a piece of ignorance or arrogance?
I think it's both.
From founder.
I think it's part on the founder and it's part on the investor. The investor should do their DD, and one of the key parts to the DD, apart from the economics, apart from on the founder and the team themselves, and the overall market space, is what's the competitive dynamic? What's the competitor set? You need to know that before you write a check.
Yep.
But also, as a founder, I don't think you should operate in a vacuum of naivety.
Yep.
You need to know who else is out there.
100%.
And as you've said with Cubes, mate, you're very aware of what your strike points are. That makes you a great entrepreneur and a great deliverer of a proposition.
Yep.
If you're going in just blind willy, yeah, you really should be doing your homework.
100%. Some of the stuff that we talk about here at Creative Cubes, I'm interested in your position on it. You know, competition is a huge thing, but we don't look at competition in total sincerity. We don't look at it because we are of the mindset that whatever the competition is, we're trying to push ourselves into our own lane where we break free of any competition.
So that's what we're talking about now is market dynamic.
Sure.
And some markets lend themselves to being more fragmented than others. And this is perhaps a marketplace where it can support many players, many levels, many different offerings, right? And everybody coexist and do well.
Yep.
There are other market dynamics. You know, Seeker's a great example. There are others where it really is an 80-20 in favor of the winner takes all.
100%. And the reason why I think that there's a huge point of difference there is because I can right mouse click, open new window, and I can go to whoever Seek's competitor is. By the way, I have no idea.
There isn't any, but anyway.
but here, and I make the argument that even the guy that has a co-working space half a kilometer away is... we're not trying to get, like, so I look at retail products. I'm not going to a buyer that has a certain amount of retail shelf and say, pick me, pick me, pick me. I am X amount of meters, kilometers away.
Fixed capacity, whereas websites tend to have unfixed capacity, naively speaking.
Totally. But I think that the consumer that is in South Yarra is not a consumer in Cremorne.
You're more regionalized, whereas, you know, World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I just think I think it's incumbent upon great entrepreneurs and great investors to tease out, articulate, and be very clear on the competition set.
Yep.
That's probably my point.
And do you think? Okay. So now it's you know, escalating from there. You spent a couple of years in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the greats in Silicon Valley, in Silicon Beach. How does Australia compare in terms of the landscape of, you know, entrepreneurship, tech, disruption?
Yeah, I think Aussies are great entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're you know, inherently optimists. We're a small country by population, massive landscape. We're very much a first world country. We're super innovative. There are so many data points on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are a lot of things that really propel us forward and make us great entrepreneurs. And so we like to work for ourselves. We're quite a creative nation. We like to do our own thing. We're not nearly as big because of the scale game of the US is 10x us on whether it be population, GDP's like 12x. I think they're the numbers. So we don't have scale. We certainly don't have the history, of aeronautics that created Silicon Valley. So, you know, we probably don't have that legacy. Our ecosystem, whether it be venture, whether it be angels, whether it be even startups, is a lot younger. We probably don't have the government having their act together. I mean, look at them on NBN, for example. That's an initiative. That's an infrastructure initiative, which has just bounced around the joint.
But even that, like, so I don't know enough about it because I've come back. I think you were back a year before me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was like, I've just come back and gotten into it. Like, I haven't really thought about it. But do you think we should have gone satellite versus copper in the ground?
Toby, I don't know. I just think if we want to be competitive, we've got to have these key infrastructures.
Sure.
And if you look at, you know, you've got to have financial incentives. You can't have a brain drain. So some of the limitations around our immigration, you've got to have institutions that are conducive to education, STEAM. So, you know, do we have all the strike points? You know, I think we know what they are. I'm just not sure we've been able to deliver or execute them as a nation from a governmental perspective.
Yep.